All right, so we've given four names to four groups or stages we find ourselves going through in our journey to spiritual maturity. Nobody starts out as a spiritual mature giant, okay? We all kind of grow into it, and we talked about the four stages or levels that we go through. They're exploring Christ, growing in Christ, close to Christ, and then Christ-centered. And I'm not going to talk about what all those mean. I encourage you to go back to our website and listen to that message. It was like the first one. And then we've learned that the growth process is not done by human effort. Amen? We're not talking about some form of religiosity where if we just do all the right things and we behave in the right way, then all of a sudden, boom, we're spiritually mature. What we're talking about is what is done in cooperation with the Holy Spirit as He transforms us from the inside out. Spiritual maturity is not a work of your hands or my hands. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. We simply cooperate with the Holy Spirit and how we respond to Him. That's all it is. It's His work. It's Him that does it. We're just kind of making ourselves available and willing is all we're doing. And then these things happen. And our focus has been on 12 primary promoters of spiritual growth. 12 primary promoters of spiritual growth. And we categorize them into the beliefs that we accept, the attitudes we adopt, the practices we exercise, and today we're going to talk about the activities we participate in. Now, although these 12 are not the only promoters, I mean, if I sat down with you, you guys would probably think of some other things that would help you grow spiritually, and there are other things. These are the 12 that have the most significant impact on our walk with God. And so far we talked about four beliefs that are vitally important in developing a relationship with God. The four beliefs are, I cannot earn heaven, the Bible's the final authority, Jesus is God, and God is a personal God. We talked about three attitudes. Attitude number one, Christ is first in my life, my identity is in Christ, and I'm willing to risk all for Christ. And then we talked about three practices. These are things like spiritual disciplines. And a lot of times whenever pastors and preachers and teachers talk about growing spiritually, they talk about spiritual disciplines, and these are the things that they usually focus on. And the three that we only talked about three because these three had the most significant impact on a person's spiritual growth. Not that the other ones don't. These are just the most impactful. And practice number one is prayer for guidance. Number two is reflecting on Scripture. And number three is giving 10% of your income back to God. Now, today we're going to look at two activities that help us move closer to God and our love for Him and others. It's really interesting. Many churches kind of hold to the view that they can just get people involved in church activities that they will grow closer to God. And that's false. That's just not true. You could have all kinds of great activities going on in your church. You could be involved in all kinds of church activities and never grow. And never grow. There's only certain types of activities that have the most impact on your spiritual growth. And what's been discovered that there's about 10 common church activities that Christ followers participate in. But out of those 10, there's only two that have the greatest impact on their spiritual growth. Can you imagine that? Out of 10, there's only two. So out of all the activities you can be involved in at church, these are the only two that are going to have the greatest impact on you growing in your walk with God. So what are the two activities? Well, let's pray, and then we'll jump in to see what the two are. Heavenly Father, I just thank You, Lord, for the way that You've been guiding us and teaching us through Your Word. I thank You, Father, for all the great things that You've shown us, Father, just since we started doing this series and the way You're working in people's lives. And I pray, Lord, that You would just help us to hear, to understand. I pray, Lord, that Your Spirit would be the teacher today. I pray that anything that comes from Blake would just be forgotten and fall by the wayside, but only Your words would be heard and remembered today. We ask this in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, activity number one. Activity number one. Serving in my church. Some of you are going like, oh, here we go again. He's going to talk about that again. Yeah, serving in my church. What does it mean? What I'm talking about when I'm saying serving in your church is to regularly serve in one of the ministries of a local church. To be involved in a local church and to serve in some capacity. Here at Cornerstone on Sunday, we have our guest services ministries, which provides the food and the coffee, the ushers and the greeters, and all that, all those people that are just serving and welcoming you in. That's called our guest services ministry. Carol Lanning heads that up for us. She does an awesome job. Really great people that are serving in that ministry. We also have our children's ministry. That's what's going on back there right now. There's a nursery going on where the babies and the toddlers and the preschool kids are all being cared for and loved on, as well as our elementary kids are all back there. They're being taught about God and about how much God loves them, and they're being loved on back there. All that goes on back there. That's a wonderful ministry that my wife, she heads up. We also have our worship arts ministry, the singing and the musicians and all the stuff that goes on, not only here, but back there in that, you see that wall where the guy just kind of peeking, Matt's just sticking his head up over the top. Back in there, there is some awesome people and some awesome things going on. That's a great ministry. But then we don't just have just our Sunday ministries, we also have our weekday ministries. We have a ministry that we call our care ministry, and that's basically people that come in during the week. They're the ones that help me send off the emails and the note cards and the letters, and we follow up with people that want information about stuff, and that we're caring for the people that are indicating on their card that they have a question or a concern. And so we're caring for them, and we go and visit with them, and we talk to them, and we connect with them in that way. And then also, there's those people that come in during the week, and they help prepare for this day. They come in, they clean the church, they do vacuuming, they clean the bathrooms, and they do all that crazy cleaning stuff. But they not only do that, they also put together all this paperwork stuff that I have them put together for you on a Sunday morning. They do all that, they put it all together, but they're serving their church family by doing that. So whenever I'm talking about serving your church, I'm talking about not just serving one time and being done with it. It's not one of those, I did this, 3 years ago, I helped vacuuming, and so I served my church. No, I'm talking about where you come in and you serve in a regular way at least once a month. Because to do that, you have to sacrifice. You have to do things, you have to adjust your schedule so you're able to do that. Sometimes the pastor doesn't recognize you as much as he needs to. I mean, sometimes you're kind of in the background and nobody knows you're there, and you think, what am I doing this for? Well, what you're doing is you're growing in your walk with God. And the main thing to remember is that this is about serving the body of Christ in a local church. So what's the biblical basis for this sort of idea? Well, Jesus set the example. It's recorded in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, and in Mark 10:45, that Jesus said that he came to serve, not to be served. He came to serve, not be served. Now, who out of all the people that hung out with Jesus, you got Jesus and his 12 disciples, out of all those people, who should be the one being served? They should have been serving Jesus, but Jesus said, no, I didn't come to be served, I came to serve. In Luke 22, verse 27, Jesus tells us that the one who serves at the table is greater than the one who sits at the table. And Wayne read that for us this morning. He was saying, it's not the one that's sitting at the table that's being served that is great. It's the one who's up serving the table that is greater. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47, Luke writes about the community that the followers of Jesus created and how they served one another. Paul encouraged the Galatians to, quote, serve one another humbly in love in chapter 5, verse 13 of the book of Galatians. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, Peter wrote, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. He's talking about the idea that whatever gifts you have, God gave them to you. They're gifts of grace, and he wants you to share them. He wants you to serve others with them. So how does that serving my church help me grow? Well, it helps you grow because by serving, you experience real community. One of the things that I really love to see is whenever you get people that are kind of all serving together in a particular ministry, and there's a community that's built because they all come of one mind and they're all working together in order to accomplish something. And I see that in several of the different ministries that we have going on. See, when everyone is looking out for the needs of others and putting aside their selfishness, then we experience a little taste of heaven. A little taste of heaven. If you're only concerned about everybody else, and then there's other people that are concerned about you, everybody's taking care of one another. And no one has to become defensive. Nobody has to look out for themselves because everybody else is looking out for them. Another reason that serving helps you grow is you become part of something that is bigger than yourself. You become part of something that is bigger than yourself. When we serve one another, we reflect the character of Jesus to outsiders. This demonstration of love for one another, when we're serving, edifying, encouraging, and building one another up, when we're doing all these things, it draws unbelievers to Jesus. Remember what Jesus says, when you lift me up, I'll draw them into me? Well, guess what we're doing whenever we're serving together and we're loving and caring for one another? We are creating the environment where Jesus is present and we're lifting up his name and we draw people to him. Simply by serving. Another way that it helps you grow is you learn how to resolve conflict. How many here just love conflict? I didn't think so. But the thing is conflict happens. Amen? Oh, that was weak. Come on, conflict happens. And it happens at church. It happens among Christians. And some of the biggest problems in church is when people come in and we haven't learned how to resolve conflict. Now, nowhere in the Bible can you say that conflict is evil or that it's bad. In fact, I've concluded, just from my own study of Scripture, that conflict is a good thing. Because conflict is what forms us into the likeness of Jesus. Because we have to learn to die to ourselves and live for others. That's what conflict does. And so whenever you're serving together, I'm telling you, conflict's going to happen. There's going to be disagreements about, you know, how we should do this or how we should do that. But the thing is, it's through that conflict, we learn to put others' needs before our own. And then as we learn what Scripture says, we apply the principles of Scripture, we learn how to resolve conflict. Not avoid, resolve conflict. Another way that serving in your church helps you to grow is you experience the joy of victory. You experience the joy of victory. As we serve one another, we experience spiritual growth and we get to participate in the spiritual growth of others. Have you thought about that? When we're serving together, it's not only your spiritual growth that's being impacted, you are impacting the spiritual growth of other people simply by serving with them. See, when we see someone move from the stage of exploring Christ all the way through to the place where they finally become Christ-centered, and they reach that place like, I'll die, I'll do anything Jesus tells me to do. I'll go anywhere he tells me to go. When we see someone go all that way, wow. I tell you, that is the thing that keeps me going as a pastor. That's the thing that keeps me going as a pastor. Watching you guys grow in Christ. Watching you grow up and becoming these great men and women of God. That's the best reward I get out of this whole thing, I think. But that's victory. And so our first activity that helps us grow and move towards spiritual maturity is serving with our church. Activity number two is sharing Christ with others. Sharing Christ with others. What does that mean? It means to share what God did for you through the work of Jesus Christ and then inviting him to experience the same personal relationship with Jesus. Now, I didn't say it means learning, you know, the three laws or four laws or It's not any of those. Those are just methods to do this. Sharing Christ with others is simply learning to share what God did for you, what God did for you through your relationship with Christ. That's all it is. So what's the biblical basis for this? Oh my goodness. We probably know this. Jesus sent his followers out to be his witnesses and to make disciples. In Mark 16:15, Matthew 28:19, Luke 24:47-48, John 20:21, and Acts 1:8. In every one of those passages, Jesus is telling them to go, make disciples. Go, tell other people. This is the one thing that Jesus commanded his disciples to do, and the only reason he came. Jesus came to redeem the world. And then when he ascended into heaven, he handed us the baton, so to speak. And he said, okay, you guys keep going. Go tell people. Just keep going. Telling people. Tell people what I did. Tell people what I did for you. How I changed your life. How I made your life better. How I rescued you. How I healed you. How I delivered you. How I did all these things for you. That's all it is. See, you and I were lost in our sin, and now we've been found. And we all know people, family, friends, neighbors, that are lost in their sin and without Christ, and we need to share Christ with them so that they can escape their future without Christ. To die and spend eternity without God in the lake of fire that was not created for us, it was created for the devil and his angels. People need to know those things. They need to know. Now, I know talking to people about your belief in Jesus can be difficult because at heart, most of us are people pleasers and we don't like conflict. I mean, that's true, right? Even though conflict is good for us and learning to resolve conflict helps us to grow, when we talk about God and eternity, it makes people uncomfortable. But learning how to share Christ with others is something that helps us to grow. Now, what I try to do is I try to give you little tools, like this thing here that's in everybody's seat. And we haven't talked about this for a couple weeks, but it says, you belong here. It's just a little brochure that you can invite someone to church with. And I kind of demonstrated that here a couple weeks ago. You just kind of knock on your neighbor's door, go see your neighbor, say, hey, here. And they'll look at that and go, oh. And you say, well, I just wanted to invite you to church. And then they can read this and they can decide whether they come. The information's on the back. But it's a real simple way to invite people to church. Some of you are more bold and better equipped. God has just equipped you with personalities and skills and tools. Just the way that you're put together, you can go talk to anybody and tell them about God and invite them to church. That is awesome. Not everybody's like that. But everybody can do this. Everybody can hand one of these things out. Or you can leave them in the doctor's office, or you can drop them off, you know, wherever you go. Just kind of leave them laying around. It's a great way. And the thing is there is you can pray over them and say, Lord, you know how nervous I'm about talking to people, but I pray, Lord, that you'd use this and that you'd draw some people to yourself and do that. But the thing is it's important for us to learn how to share, because we all get to that place as we build a relationship with somebody to where we get to the place of comfort. We can say, well, and they say, why you go to church? And it's not because, well, I've always done that. Because if that's your answer, there's a problem. Should be. You should be here because something God did in your life. There's something that God did that brought you here. He spoke to you through somebody that invited you. There's something going on in your life. You're hoping that he will touch you or make a change in you. There's some reason why you're here. So, how does sharing my faith with others help me to grow? Well, when you share Christ, you make an eternal difference in someone else's life when they choose to follow Jesus. You make an eternal difference in somebody else's life. It's better than helping someone with any other personal, educational, physical, or financial problem. Now, it's good that we can do those things, and we can certainly glorify God in those things. But when we share Christ with somebody, we have the potential of impacting somebody for all eternity. We change the direction of their life, where they're going to spend eternity. Whenever you share Christ, you're being obedient to the Great Commission that Jesus gave us. There is a peace you can experience when you know that you're living righteously, and that means in the right way, righteously in the eyes of God. There's just a peace, you know. And some of you know what I'm talking about. And if you don't know what that is, I encourage you to come talk to me. Because God gives us peace when we learn and we decide on our own. We say, I'm going to live for God and I'm going to live right. God gives us a peace. You also grow from sharing your faith with others in the sense that you move from being just a disciple to being a disciple maker. Being a disciple maker. When you introduce someone to Christ, you become like a spiritual parent to that person. And like any parent that cares for their children, you will want to make sure that the spiritual newborn gets the proper feeding and nurturing. And that's all that is. So our second activity is sharing Christ with others. So in conclusion, let's review one more time what we've learned in this series. There's four stages of your spiritual journey. You start exploring Christ, then you move to growing in Christ, and then you move close to Christ, and you move into Christ-centered. There's four beliefs: that I cannot earn heaven, the Bible's the final authority, Jesus is God, God is a personal God. There's three attitudes: Christ is first in my life, my identity is in Christ, and I'm willing to risk all for Christ. There's three practices: praying for guidance, reflecting on Scripture, and giving 10% of my income. And then two activities: serving in my church and sharing Christ with others. Now, some of you there, you know, you got beads of sweat on your forehead because you think, well, I don't know I'm doing all those things. I don't know if I believe all those things. I don't know. Well, that's okay. That's okay. We're talking about a growth process. We're not talking about some kind of instantaneous thing that happens. It's what the Holy Spirit does in us, and He gives us all the ability to believe these things. He gives us the attitudes that we need. He helps us to practice the right things. He helps us and encourages us to participate in these activities. So, in reference to the activities in church, how are you doing at developing these two activities in your life? I mean, those are things you would choose. Well, what are you doing? Are you serving the church body at least once a month? Are you serving the church body at least once a month? I encourage you to do that. It's what helps you grow, and you help others grow whenever you do that. Are you sharing Christ with others? If you are, that's wonderful. How often are you doing that? Is it, you know, just Easter and Christmas, or is it something that's kind of regular? It's kind of become part of who you are. Are you being intentional about it? I honestly struggle with these things too. I haven't attained all this stuff. And like I said, if you're still struggling to do these things, don't worry, you're not alone. Just don't settle to stay where you are in your spiritual journey. Because that's what happens. We kind of get in a rut, and we think, well, I'm all right. And then we don't really stretch ourselves. We don't try to take our spiritual journey any further. I'm going to encourage you this morning to stretch yourself. Take a risk. Try out serving the church family somewhere. We've got a lot of places you can serve. You can come talk to me or some of those people that I mentioned that are leaders in different ministries. You can talk to them too. Invite somebody to church. We're starting up life groups. Invite somebody to your life group. So whatever life group you're going to sign up for, you got somebody in mind that doesn't have a church home, they're not plugged in, they're just kind of like drifting in their walk with God, invite them to life group. You can do that. You can do that. Thing is, I ask you, don't invite people from other churches to life group. We're not trying to recruit people from other churches. We're just talking about the people that are out there without a church home. We can invite them to life group, but invite people in. And even if you're having trouble being consistent, you can still make a commitment to keep working at developing these activities as God gives you the courage to do so. Because in reality, it takes courage to do some of these things. It takes courage to sign up and say, okay, I'm going to commit, I'm going to do thus and such at church once a month. And then it's hard. It's hard to stay with it. That's why in our serving, we don't have you sign up for an area of serving and it's indefinite. We have a beginning and an ending date, and we have a schedule, and these are the Sundays that you're going to be here, or during the week, this is when you're serving, and this is when you start, this is when you end. It's not how many times you fall down or fail at trying something new. What matters is you keep getting up and trying again. You just keep getting up and trying again. So, what step is God calling on you to make today? Maybe it's to memorize our verses. We got them up here. Maybe that's the big step for you. Maybe for you, that's a huge thing. If you memorize those three verses, that would be a huge step for you. I say go for it. Make that your step. Or maybe you're okay with that, but maybe you need to commit to start serving your church family. Maybe you're part of Cornerstone Church, and it's like, well, I've never signed up to serve to do anything. Or maybe it's time to start. Maybe it's time to start. Or maybe it's to commit to share Christ with someone. Maybe this week, or you know, put a deadline on yourself. All right, I'm gonna tell somebody about Jesus the next week or two. I'm just gonna do it. I'm gonna be watching every day that I get up. I'm gonna say, Lord, show me the person you want me to talk to, and I'm gonna be alert and intentional about it. I'm gonna be watching, okay? Or maybe you need to commit to invite someone to church or to your life group. Maybe that's a big step for you. You know, maybe talking to someone about Jesus is a little nerve-wracking for you, and you think, oh, I don't know if I'm ready for that yet, but I think I can invite somebody to church. I think I can invite somebody to my life group. I think I can do that. Whatever it is, I want to encourage you to be brave. Be brave. Do that. Do that. Make a commitment to do one of these things. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would just work in our hearts today. And Lord, that you would challenge us to do whatever it is that you're calling on us to do. I pray, Father, that you would just give us the courage, the gumption that we need, Father, in order to do these things, that we might grow in our walk with you, Lord, but that we might also be a part of helping others to grow. And we ask that you would help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.